Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark's City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
We are in our series on maturity, and praise the Lord, Bruno's going to bring it up for me, and we thank God for that. And we started off last week and we were looking at the whole area of fake news and that we can't mature without truth, and truth helps us to mature. Well, praise the Lord, today we're going to look at the whole issue and topic of grace, and that we cannot grow without grace. Grace helps us to grow. We're in the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and we know that Timothy is Paul's protege, and that Timothy was raised up by Paul, and he, you know, Paul refers to him as his true son, and there's just a beautiful relationship there between them, and it's such a blessing. And in 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 20, which is the verse we're going to go to in a minute, we're going to see that grace is for growth. And if we don't realize or appreciate or value how amazing God's gift of grace is, we're not going to mature in the way that the Lord would like us to mature. We should never take God's grace for granted, amen? We should never think it's something that we heard about back in the day when we first gave our lives to the Lord. And we should understand that grace isn't just there for salvation, but it's there for everyday living, amen? Amen? It's such a gift. It's such a gift to us. And we praise God for this grace for growth. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 20, I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. Can I just pause for a second? I love the way he says that in the past tense. Now we're talking about grace here today, and this is going to be all about grace, and there's not any condemnation. But brothers and sisters, Christianity is all about transformation and being changed, amen? So if you gave your life to the Lord 5 weeks ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you're violent to your wife, there's something wrong there. That's not right. That's not Christianity. Amen? Like, we understand this, don't we? We understand that Jesus comes into our lives, we are transformed. We were one way and now we become another way by his grace. Amen? So just, can I submit to something that, you know, maybe you've encountered church, maybe you've encountered religion, but if you're still a violent person, you haven't encountered Christ. Amen? Amen? The King of Love, yeah? The King of Love. We've received love. So praise the Lord. So we know that Paul encountered Jesus. How do we know? Because he was a blasphemer. So, you know, we would say it's saying the Lord's name in vain, but he stopped saying that. So once in Dublin, people love to say the name of Jesus all the time. It's one of the, I don't know if it breaks your heart every time. And it's like, it's used as a curse word. And so BC, before Christ, we were saying the name of Jesus in the wrong way. We were blaspheming. But then we become Christians. We only say the name of Jesus in praise and to honor his name. So he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. You might say, well, Sean, I'm not a persecutor. How could I persecute anyone? You could be one of those judgmental social media surfers. You could be persecuting people with your words online and just judging and pulling down people all the time. You could be a persecutor. I don't know. But I do know that Paul was. He's not anymore in the scripture here. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a violent man. But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Amen. That's a key passage to understanding grace. Praise God. Ignorance and unbelief was why he did those things. But when we come into the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus, we don't have ignorance or unbelief anymore. So we can't say, I didn't know, Your Honor. I didn't know. No, we know full well. Not only do we have God's word directing us, but we have the Holy Spirit giving us that sense in our spirit that I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Amen? So not only do we have church and the word of God, we have the Holy Spirit convicting us and saying, mm-mm. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Praise God. That is a boast every single one of us in this place could make. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the good fight. You may wage the good war. You may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God for amazing grace. Thank God for amazing grace that through this passage gives us strength for service, mercy for mission, and grace for growth. Thank God for this amazing grace that transforms people from being blasphemers into praisers, from being persecutors into those who love, and from being, praise the Lord, people who are just completely against you and against life and against everything to being on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reflects on the overwhelming grace of God that has transformed him from being a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. And I love those testimonies, and I love those stories. And you might not be outwardly violent, and you may not be outwardly aggressive, but my brother, my sister, you could be raging on the inside today. And Jesus wants to bring us transforming grace. The violence and the aggression may not have kind of erupted out of you physically, but inside you just have violence in your mind. Violence in our minds is where we have hatred towards people, where we're just antagonistic towards people, where we're saying things in our mind like, I wish you were dead. I wish I could kill you, even though we're not physically going to do that. And that's violence that the Lord wants to take out of us. Amen. The ways of the world are not the ways of the kingdom. And Paul reflects on this overwhelming grace of God. It transforms him into a servant of Christ Jesus. He thanks the Lord for entrusting him with ministry despite his past. And that's the grace of God. The apostle frames his testimony as a living example of God's patience, mercy, and redemptive power. And I want to thank God, and this is the truth directed towards every single one of us today. Grace upon grace is directed towards us, but so is God's patience. I thank God for his patience with me. Are you grateful for God's patience? You know when you've had an incredible encounter night like last Wednesday or an incredible Sunday morning and you've enjoyed the worship and you're kind of like, I'm going to live for you. And then someone cuts across you in the queue when you're in Subway at lunchtime. And it's like, I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? Like that this grace is something that we carry rather than just something we enjoy fleetingly, and that it's something that transforms our lives. Verses 12 to 14 set us up beautifully for this message today. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. How can I live this life? God has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me. Other translations say enabling me for service. He has given me strength. He has enabled me to serve him. For I was once this, but now I was shown mercy. Praise God. Shown mercy. And the grace of the Lord was poured out abundantly. This strength, this mercy, this grace, this strength, this mercy, this grace. And it's not just for Paul, and it's not just for Timothy, but it's for every single person in this place. How blessed are we? The strength, mercy, and grace is for everyone, not just for the Pauls or the big names of the world, but for the whomsoevers. Grace is not merely the forgiveness of the past, but it's God's ongoing power for growth. Ongoing power for growth. Paul's transformation reminds us, though, that spiritual maturity doesn't begin with strength. It begins with surrender. And this very morning, we're not asking you to give your strength. We're just asking you to give your life. We're asking you to give your heart. We're asking you to give your abilities and your skills. We're asking you to give you, in whatever shape or form you've come in here today. If you've come in victorious after an amazing week of advancing the kingdom of God, or you've come here and you've been licking the crust of the earth all week and you just feel so down in the mouth and down in your heart, praise Lord, you're all welcome. We're all received by the grace of God, and we're all blessed because of the grace of God. There's people here today, you've got regrets, failings. You've had maybe a season of rebellion that God wants to bring you out of, and grace is going to redefine your trajectory if you allow God to do so. Amen. Amen. Will you allow grace to redefine your trajectory? Will you allow grace to put you back on the straight and narrow? Will you allow grace to change you from being a blasphemer and a violent man if you just surrender and give God all of your strength so he can give you his strength? There's some beautiful phrases, there's some beautiful principles in this half chapter. This is the latter part of the chapter one of 1 Timothy. And there's just incredible stuff in this. And as we say, when we're going through a book, go home, read 1 Timothy, that you're coming in prepared for what the Lord is going to say through his word. And you can check up on what we're saying to make sure we're sticking to the word. But if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles here to my right and to my left on the shelf. Please take one afterwards. We'd love you to take a Bible for free. It's so important that you have the word of God for yourself, the meat of God, that you can grow. But here's some things that I want to point to in regard to grace, that celebrate grace and that are part of our story as well. Paul calls himself the worst of sinners. Amazing Grace was written in 1772 by John Newton. And we're all familiar with the song Amazing Grace. Even people who don't go to church know Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a... Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The only way this grace-saved Christian could describe himself in Amazing Grace was as a wretch. Amen? The only way Paul could describe himself to Timothy was as the worst of sinners. Amen? Now, could you imagine that was on your business card? Sean Mullarkey, worst of sinners. There you go. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We would never introduce ourselves to someone that way. We would never introduce ourselves to a young man we're trying to mentor as Timothy, bless you. I'm Paul, worst of sinners. You doing okay? Bless the Lord. God bless you. You'll do well with me. Why is Paul saying that? Because always Paul wants to direct people to Jesus. In the flesh, we always want to draw people unto us. But in the spirit, we're always meant to draw people unto Jesus. So we want people to be impressed with us. And Paul is making sure that Timothy will not be impressed with him, but that Timothy will be impressed with Jesus in him. So Jesus takes the worst of sinners, of which I am the worst, Paul says. And isn't that beautiful that when we encounter grace, we should all feel like we deserve that title? We should be saying to Paul, no, I'm the worst. Paul, no, I'm the worst. No, all of us should be having, you know, that thing that's in the Irish kind of comedy circuit with regards to Irish people when they're about to pay for a meal afterwards. No, I'll pay for it. And there's this war that happens in love after a meal in a restaurant or whatever among Irish people. And so it's the same thing. We should be fighting with regards to that. No, I'm the worst of sinners. No. That should be the way it goes. Amen. We love to kind of get ourselves across in that kind of religious finery of our gowns. I am the best of Christians. Be so impressed with me. Like, oh my gosh. Don't you know that the Lord opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And so Paul is making sure that Timothy starts as he means to go on. In comparison to God's pure holiness, his deep righteousness, and his magnanimous grace, our lives should never forget where we came from. I always love, when Christians get judgmental. We don't want that kind here. A few years ago, you were that kind. A few years ago, you were worse than that kind. I tell you, them coming into our country will keep... What are you talking about? The Irish have gone to every country in the world. We've emigrated to every single country in the world. It's unbelievable, the nonsense that is spoken by people that are meant to know Jesus. We have this grace in our lives that should never forget where we came from, should never forget what God has given us, should never forget the doors that God opened for us, the provision that he gave us, the land that he brought us to bless us, wherever that was, because he was leading us in his way. Paul is letting us know here that there was a season where he didn't know Jesus, and so he acted in ignorance and unbelief, which means that when we do know Jesus, we act with knowledge and belief. Amen? The great thing is that when we do wrong, we know we've done wrong, but we have grace. We don't sin on purpose, but when we do stumble, we have grace to walk back into and to be blessed by. I love the way the Message version puts it. I'm proof, Paul says. I'm public sinner number one. I'm public sinner number one of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. I could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. You see, grace is the soil in which growth flourishes, where weakness becomes our testimony and failure becomes our foundation. And we're never embarrassed to point people to our failure and to our weakness. Not so long ago, we had the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And didn't we rejoice that when she encountered the grace of Jesus Christ, that she ran into the town and said, "Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did." The very reason that she was coming out at the hottest part of the day to the well was because she was ashamed and embarrassed at her life. And then she goes in boasting about her weaknesses because Jesus has brought her into grace. My brother, my sister, what a beautiful thing to know that we all have a testimony. And that testimony could have been that we were the most violent, the worst of sinners. But then, praise the Lord, we came into belief. We got the transformation of Jesus Christ. We got born again and we were made new. Praise the Lord. But then there's also testimony like my own where I came from a very religious family. Sometimes coming from a very religious family is more dangerous than coming from a gangland family. Because when you're raised in a very religious family, you believe that if you keep going to church and you're just a good boy and you keep doing good, and as loads of people say to me, "Sure, I never killed someone." Fair play to you, thanks. Like, when you think that your goodness and you going to church every week is going to save you, then that's as far away from God as you can get, because you have the trappings of Christianity, but you don't have the heart of Christ. And so we understand that it's only when we encounter Jesus, we recognize the finished work of the cross, we bow the knee at the fulfillment of all things, Jesus Christ, we make him our Lord and Savior, and then we, praise the Lord, receive the Spirit of God, then we can have a sense that we're on the right track. Grace for growth means God never wastes a failure. Isn't that brilliant? God never wastes a failure. If you came in today through the doors and the first thing in your head was, "I'm such a failure, I don't deserve to be here," Jesus is delighted that you're here, because he never wastes a failure. He never wastes a mistake. Praise God. Because he just loves to come in and he loves to say, "Hey, look what I can do. Look what I can do with that sin. I can forgive it. I can throw it into the past. Look what I can do with your heart and your life. Look what I can do for you. I've got a future for you." Contemplate today where grace met you. Remember what you were like. Remember where you thought you were strongest. And understand now that that is probably the place that God is saying, "You know you need me more than ever in that area." It's a place of real weakness if we thought it was a place of real strength. Much earlier, Paul described himself as the least of the apostles. That was in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, he says, "I am less than the least of all God's people." I wonder would any of us have followed Paul? Because his business card stinks. "I'm the least of all the apostles." Ephesians, "I am less than the least of all of God's people." So even the newest convert, I am less than the least of all of God's people. And here we see him saying that he is the worst of sinners. I think it's often true that as we go through the Christian life, our conviction of sin actually increases and our appreciation of God's grace and forgiveness increases the older we go on in the Lord. Not that we're living under condemnation or guilt or that we're kind of walking with our heads down, but we just get more and more amazed by his grace. Lord, I can't believe that you would have saved someone like me. I can't believe that you would use someone like me. Lord, I just thank you so much for your amazing grace. May our boast today be as we leave this place, I was the worst of sinners. Amen. Another point that Paul makes is that he has been picked out by God's grace as a prime example. And let me break that down. Verse 16 said, "For that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." Back to the message. I read the first part of it already. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now God shows me off. Evidence of his endless patience in my life. And he shows me off to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. I prefer the New Living Translation. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example. A prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. You see, when we show off and we walk around as if, you know, we know everything and we're the best of Christians rather than the worst of sinners, it kind of puts a wedge with people because they feel, oh, I could never attain. I could never go into that church. I'm too sinful. I could never be like them. They're so holy. I could never be like them. And so we're yes, you're right. I'm just so eternally magnificent. In my stature and in the way I live as a Christian. But when we get with people and we kind of go, oh, hey, listen, I've said this so many times, one of my favorite evangelists, she's in St. Mark's, Tala, D24, Marie Reed, she just sits beside people and she says, let me tell you what my Jesus has done for me. And she tells them the whole story of a troubled past and telling them private stuff and everything. You don't have to go that far if you don't want to. I'm always amazed at her. Let me tell you what my Jesus done for me. She's never embarrassed to talk about her failures. Never embarrassed to talk about her failures and the amount of people that have come to Jesus. You see, one of the things that we don't recognize is that when we're saved by grace, then we're, praise the Lord, brought in to be witnesses and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think that when we understand that God wants us to be a good example, that causes us to lean into his grace more than ever. And God is looking for people who will be his witnesses. God is looking for people that will shine his light. God is looking for people that will live his life. God is looking for people that will be ambassadors of the kingdom soon coming in all of its fullness. But the kingdom of God is actually among us once we have Jesus in our hearts. We mature when we realize that we received amazing grace, not just for salvation, but for transformation. But we also show maturity when we stumble. And rather than getting depressed and kind of saying, I'm such a failure, God doesn't love me, we get up because God gives us grace upon grace upon grace. And a sign of maturity is someone who gets back up and says, I know I sin, I know I make mistakes, but God still loves me. I'm getting on with today. I'm going to be a light. I'm going to be a witness in Jesus' name. John 1 says this in 14 to 17, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it goes on, out of the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace. The NIV says grace in place of grace. Other translation says grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So praise the Lord. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. What are you, Sean Malarkey? I'm a sinner saved by grace. And praise the Lord, I'll leave this place and I'll seek to shine God's light. And praise the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit in me, I will seek to be a witness and an ambassador this week. But when I stumble, when I stumble, God will give me grace. Because it's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And grace in place of grace. So yesterday's grace is done. He'll give me fresh grace, amen, in place of that grace, amen. And this is the way it works. And we just revel in the grace of God, the grace that brings us into salvation, the grace that brings transformation. I was once a violent man, but I'm not anymore. But maybe sometimes I'm tempted to be violent, so I might say a bad word. Well, there's grace for that. There's grace to help us to keep becoming more and more like Jesus. We mature when we realize that we received amazing grace to be ambassadors of grace for the Lord Jesus. We're nearly there. Paul understood that his whole life now was lived unto the King. Everything was for the King. It was for Jesus. He was living for Jesus, not himself. He had received grace now to live for Jesus. He had received grace now to do everything unto the King. And when we live that way, we mature. When we live for ourselves, we stay babies. We stay babies. Because the first word that babies learn, and I'm sure to all the Christian parents in this room, your children didn't learn this word, but our children, their first word was me, mine, amen? Praise the Lord. Very, very quickly, you know, they saw stuff and it was mine, for me. And little babies think that they're the center of their own universe because they've no experience of anything else or what's going on or sharing. Like they just cry and then they get this kind of white liquid given to them. It's brilliant. It's all kind of free and it's there. They think this is brilliant. This is amazing. I'm going to love life here. It's all for me. Everything's coming to me. I just do a little cry. I won't go there. But God is so good, isn't he? God is so good. We mature, we grow up in the Lord, and the things of God, when we seek not glory and honor for ourselves, they come to us. We live to seek the glory and honor of our King. It's all for the King. It's all for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Spiritual growth isn't a ladder to climb, but a relationship to deepen. And that's such a challenge. For all ages, but for us to really surrender to that. Spiritual growth isn't the ladder to climb. No, I'm going to get promoted because I'm so brilliant. No, it's a relationship to deepen. Every day we're seeking to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Think about it. The grace God gives us to enter his presence, his inner sanctuary. What a blessing. Do we take that for granted? Jesus, the King of Kings, invite you into his presence and his inner sanctuary on a daily basis. Now, this week, I hope you had a fantastic week, by the way. But did any of you get a phone call from our president, Michael D. Higgins, to come into his presence? Maybe for those who kind of like what's going on with royalty across the waters, King Charles phoned anyone here this week? No, of course not. Of course not. They have no idea you exist. They have no idea what your name is. But the King of Kings, who knows you, has invited you into his presence all week. All week by his grace. By his grace. And this amazing grace is something that we need to kind of rejuvenate in our souls to understand the grace that we get to have an audience with the best world leader that has ever lived or existed and will live forever. Amazing grace that we have an audience with the King of Kings anytime that we want. We must allow God, and we must allow God's grace to train our conscience, to guide our purpose, and to transform our stories. We mature when we live for the King. We mature when we appreciate his grace and the grace that allows us into the Holy of Holies. We mature when we recognize that as precious. And we don't just take it for granted, or we don't ignore it all week. I loved, do you remember the old hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. This is a King who affords us grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Do you see him this morning? And so, because it's grace, I don't have to do anything. That's not exactly what Paul was teaching Timothy, is it? He's already said that he needs to be an example. Hey, Timothy, when I got saved, You know, remember I used to be a violent man, a blasphemer, but God changed me up. Took my unbelief, gave me belief, and changed my life so I could be an example so others could see the transformative power of Jesus in my life. They could see the light in the darkness. They could see truth in a world of chaos and fake news. And then he kind of finishes off this part with encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight. Fight? I thought, like grace, I just did nothing. I just thought it was, you know, you're just going to lie back and enjoy the ride to heaven. Amen. But here we see Paul saying that he wants him to fight the good fight. He wants to wage war. And he gives the example of two people who obviously previously had enjoyed God's grace. Sean, can we lose our salvation? Are you saying that kind of we have to strive with regards to grace? No. I'm saying grace is all free. We don't have to do anything. I'm saying praise the Lord for faith. Praise the Lord that everything has been accomplished on the cross. But praise the Lord, we then are changed into witnesses to the light. And when people then decide of their own free will, well, no, I want to go back to blaspheming, they cease to be a witness. Amen. That's fairly straightforward. If I'm a changed life and I'm someone who loves Jesus and I'm a witness to the light and I'm an ambassador of the kingdom, praise the Lord, and then I turn up in work the next week and I'm blaspheming and I'm coarse and do you think that will bring confusion to people? It absolutely brings confusion to people. And because of God's desire to advance his kingdom and for people's lives to be blessed through our lives, he wants us to fight the good fight. And so we're to fight that temptation to go back to the old life. And we have grace for that. And God gives us grace for that. And just to encourage people here, that if you've ever been tempted to throw it all away and to give it all up, God wants to give you grace to push through today. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who strengthens me and counts me faithful. Grace, while free, requires perseverance. It's not passive. It empowers growth and endurance in God's truth. And so we thank God for his amazing grace that has brought us into salvation, amazing grace that gives us an audience with the King, even though we don't deserve it, amazing grace that uses the worst of sinners to be ambassadors to the kingdom of God, amazing grace that empowers us and enables us to serve Jesus Christ, amazing grace that is amazing every single day, even when we foul up, just grace upon grace upon grace. It's all grace, 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 grace. And praise the Lord, because this grace is so good, we will fight the good fight. Because we know in our hearts we'll never get a better deal than this. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask Matthias to come up and just to play a few chords in the background as I just go into this communion time to close. And I just wonder, as we hold the elements and we hold the bread and the cup. And if people wouldn't mind, there's boxes there for people and the balcony, if you wouldn't mind handing them out, that would be absolutely amazing. I just wonder if there's anyone here today, you don't have to take them yet until we all take it together. But I just wonder, is there anyone here today and you're feeling like you've overstepped and stepped out of God's grace? And I just want to let you know that there's grace upon grace upon grace, because I know that you haven't intentionally said, I've had enough of this Christianity, I've had enough of Jesus. I know your heart is broken because you missed that relationship and you missed that intimacy with Jesus. God wants to give you grace upon grace upon grace. If you're here today and you need Jesus Christ, God wants to give you the grace that is called salvation, that comes to us through recognizing the finished work of the cross, that comes to us through recognizing that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and making him the Lord and Master of our lives. And Lord Jesus, just even as we take this moment just to consider your grace, we want to thank you that your grace is still amazing. We want to thank you, Lord God, that your grace has been offered to me, the worst of sinners. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given me the grace that I need to be an example for you. Thank you, Lord God, for the grace that gives me an audience with the King. And thank you, Lord God, for the grace that gives me the strength to fight the good fight in these crazy days. Lord, in communion now, we're going to connect with your grace in a special way. Because when we break down the word grace, it reminds us that we're talking about God's riches at Christ's expense. Through communion, Lord, we receive grace upon grace upon grace. And in communion, Lord God, you're going to strengthen souls. What a grace. You're going to sharpen our spiritual senses. What a grace. And you're going to fortify our desire for you. Thank you, Jesus. What a grace. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. Same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for this cup. Let's take the cup in Jesus' name. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Lord Jesus, 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 Lord Jesus. I wonder, can we all stand in this place? Amen. We just invite the worship team up. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lord, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you that I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I want to thank you for this beautiful church filled with loads of sinners. Lord, thank you that by your grace, we are now seen as saints because we are in Christ, because, Lord Jesus, of what you've done on the cross for us, because, Lord Jesus, of your amazing grace. I pray, Lord God, that the saints of St. Mark's would continue to boast that they are sinners saved by grace. That like Paul, we would never be afraid to say, "Look what Jesus has done to me, the worst of sinners. Look what Jesus has done to me, the least of all his followers. Look what Jesus has done." Lord, may your grace just drip from every heart, every soul, and every mind this day, Lord God. May we become more grateful for your grace. And may this grace give us the space we need this week to mature in you, Lord God, to become more than we are today, to become, Lord God, people who don't blaspheme or are violent, but are loving and who praise. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us time this week to have an audience with the King, where we will just cherish our time with you and thank you for that amazing grace. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would cause us to be great examples to the light, not in our strength, but because of you and your amazing grace. And we just bless you for this time together. Help us to grow because your grace has given us the ability to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.